Good evening. I'd like to call the October 19th meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance is to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members, please.
Ms. Nicosi.
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne. Mr. McKenna.
Present.
Mr. Proto.
Here.
Ms. Pryor.
Here.
Mr. Robison.
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa is on his way from an IDA meeting and will be here a little bit later this evening. Mr. Stein.
Here.
Mr. Burbank.
I'm here.
Ms. Chuck.
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis.
Here.
Ms. Herrera.
Here.
Ms. Kiefer.
Present.
Mr. Lane.
Here.
Ms. Robertson.
Here.
13 members present.
Thank you. I have one proclamation, and I understand Carrie Quinn is here from the Cancer Resource Center. Would you like to come on up, please? Whereas the chances of a woman getting breast cancer in her lifetime is now 1 in 7, and whereas 80 residents of Tompkins County are diagnosed with breast cancer each year, and whereas an estimated 800 current residents of Tompkins County have already been diagnosed with breast cancer, and whereas most women diagnosed with breast cancer have no family history of the disease or other known risk factors, and whereas breast cancer can recur 10, 20, or even 30 years after the initial diagnosis, and whereas death rates from breast cancer in African-American women are 34% higher than in white women, and whereas October 23rd is the date of the 17th annual Walkathon of the Cancer Resource Center of the Finger Lakes, at which Tompkins County residents can show their support for people affected by breast cancer, now, therefore, I, Martha Robertson, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim the week of October 23rd to October 29th, 2010, as Breast Cancer Awareness Week in Tompkins County. Good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I am really privileged to be here to thank all of you personally for doing this. A big thank you to Frank, who has actually volunteered to organize all of you to be there on Saturday for our walkathon. And it is obviously it's a huge struggle every day that we see at the Cancer Resource Center, and this means a lot to us. And we're going to hang it at the board meeting that I'm running to right now. So please join us Saturday. Oh, it's at Cass Park. It's on the Waterfront Trail. And you can go on to our website, the Cancer Resource Center website, and you can sponsor somebody if you can't join us. The Cuga Medical Center is making a great pancake breakfast, and 10 o'clock we start off, and by 11:30 we will have spent a wonderful time with a lot of people who are in treatment or survivors or people that are there honoring or just supporting the work that we do. So please come out and join us. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
Thank you. We have public privilege of the floor next, and I have a number of people signed up. Our limit is 3 minutes, please, and Kathy will help you with timekeeping. If at the end of the list anybody else is interested in speaking, you can just come to the mic when we're finished with the people who've signed up. I first have Philip Cox and then Faye Gugakis.
Good afternoon. I am Phil Cox. I live at 15 Hickory Circle, which is in Ellis Hollow, putting me in the 13th District. I'm also privileged to serve on the Board of Directors for Catholic Charities here in Ithaca. So I'm here today to request reconsideration of funding for the Department of Social Services, the contracts they have with Catholic Charities for both the Child Protective Services and the Samaritan Center. The funding for these two programs is $27,000 from the county, and while that may not seem like an awful lot, it's an enormous amount of money to Catholic Charities and the programs we provide. More importantly, that funding then brings in an additional $48,000 from New York State. That would bring the total funding then to $75,000 for these programs who are assisting the poorest and the most vulnerable in our community. The Children's Protective Services may be addressed in somebody else's remarks. Tommy Miller from our Family Empowerment Services will speak to that. But I'd like to just mention that the Samaritan Center organizes a clothing and linen closet, partnering with other area parishes and congregations, likewise working with other organizations locally. We collect and distribute personal care products, again, for the needy, and these are all distributed from our building on West Buffalo Street. The Samaritan Center also provides urgent short-term financial assistance to low-income families and individuals in immediate crisis. And there are a whole host of immediate crises they come to see us about. Most of the participants, in fact, the families that we serve are usually working towards self-sufficiency in the future. The idea is to get them out of the predicament that they're in. I might also mention our Samaritan Center provides these services irrespective of religion or any other affiliation. Anyone that comes through our door is served. So without the $11,500 from the county for the Samaritan Center services, we're going to have to cut back on our services. We may have to close the doors one day a week. And this comes at a time of heightened need. Since January of this year, we've documented 50 to 60 new families each month coming to us in need. So I admit yours is certainly not an enviable task. I wouldn't want to be in your position trying to balance all the juggling act of all the priorities and needs that you have. But I would have to say that among the hierarchy of needs, I would think you might agree that clothing, sheltering, or feeding the poor has to be a fairly high priority. My wife and I feel that way, and that's why each year we make an annual financial donation to the Samaritan Center so they can carry out this work.
If you could wrap up, Phil.
Okay. I hate to say this. It pains me to do it. But if doing this funding means just a little bit more taxes, I'm all for it. I'd be happy to pay more taxes for it. I'm sorry if I went over.
Thank you very much. Faye Gugak. And then Craig Schutt.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here tonight to support the resolutions against the hydrofracking on state land and on county land, and the other resolution that Frank added on the trucking, right? I have a couple of things that I wanted to add to that in support of your resolution. That is, these are important steps that need to be taken extremely quickly, not only by this body, by the city of Ithaca, which is lagging behind, and other municipalities around the state. After looking at these resolutions, I would like if you could add also that the Clean Water and Air Act be reinstated. I think it's very important for this body and anybody in New York State says that clear message to the state. Because it is an atrocity that the Clean Water Act has been, you know, taken away from the gas and oil industry. That needs to come into these statements, if you can. I mean, it's a great resolution, but I think that if you could add that, that would make it extremely powerful. Also, the emphasis on our water supply, I would like to have more emphasis on that in the resolution. The resolution also needs to be sent to Hinchey and to Obama, actually. Obama needs to know that we are doing this in New York State because the country is really emphasizing this technology, so they need to know from us that we're opposing it. The other things that I wanted to say is that, you know, our water is all connected. In fact, I was at a meeting Sunday night in Caroline, and I was looking at the map with the driver in the car, and I realized that Six Mile Creek is going into Caroline. So the more reason why Tompkins County needs to oppose this, because all our waterways are connected with this hydrofracking, we are going to be poisoned one way or another. We our supply is going to be harmed. The other thing that is very important for us to know in this whole debacle is that during the Bush and Cheney presidency, they met in private. That was very public. We all know that. The Democrats especially were very upset about it, but this is a nonpartisan issue. Let me remind you, our safety of our land and water and air. But they met in private, and what did they do? They did this. They took away the Clean Water Act, okay? And now we have this whole nightmare of hydrofracking. So there was a crime that was committed. That's my opinion. But again, that was a crime to the country, our country. And we're paying for that right now. So we need to look at that in a nonpartisan way. What harm was done to this country by taking away the Clean Water Act, the Clean and Air Water Act from the gas and oil industry? That's going to affect everybody, and it has already, as we know, affected people. So this is great. Thank you for doing this. If you can make it a little stronger, that would be great. But I really believe, in my heart, we can ban this in New York State. I really believe that. But in order to do that, we have to work in unison. The city of Ithaca has to do it. All municipalities have to do it. And I really believe we can do it. And one last thing I just remembered. I'm learning recently that the fracking fluid is coming to New York State. It's in Chemung County. It's being given to the landfills. This is extremely dangerous. And we need to stop that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Faye. Craig Scott, and then Tomo Shibata. Craig Scott first.
Good evening. Frank and I, and actually Dooley and Carol, have been working on a proposed Chesapeake Bay resolution that concerns the TMDL that EPA is proposing for the Chesapeake Bay watershed. There's a lot of misconceptions, but there's also a lot of reason why we should try to reject it here in New York in the current stance that it's in. EPA, if this goes through the way EPA is proposing it, demands are going to be put on New York to have our water cleaner than anybody else's in the entire watershed, even though we're way at the top of the watershed. In reality, if all the water going into the Chesapeake Bay right today was as clean as the water leaving New York State, they wouldn't need a TMDL. But yet, percentage-wise, EPA is still insisting on putting that we lower our nitrogen, phosphorus, and sediment pretty much at the same percentage-wise as the other states. This is going to put extreme financial burden on our farms here in New York in that watershed and the municipalities in this watershed. I was in a meeting today where DEC's estimates are under the current proposal, it'll cost $350 million to get ag even close to in compliance, $1 to $6 million for stormwater retrofits, and $1 to $6 billion for stormwater, $1.5 billion retrofits for wastewater treatment plants. Of course, in Tompkins County, we don't have any wastewater treatment plants, so it's going to fall on to the small municipalities of Newfield, Danby, and Caroline, basically, to meet these, a little bit in Dryden. But what do we have? It'll be septic systems. It'll be the farming community. We don't have a lot. And the proposal is that by next year, 2011, there'll be county allocations being handed out. I mean, that's in the plan right now. So they're going to say, water leaving your county has got to be meet this standard, and you figure out how to make it, basically. I mean, we've been working with EPA, the Upper Susquehanna Coalition, Cornell University, DEC, Binghamton University, all in concert for the last 10 years with EPA on this issue. But every time we reach close to our allocation, they drop our numbers. We have to go down further. It's all based on a model. It's all model world. It's tough to figure out what they're thinking or how they're thinking. But I think it's something that the legislature here needs to be aware of. And there's public meetings coming up. The timeline is really...
If you could wrap up, Craig.
Okay. New York presented its watershed implementation plan. It's got responses. The public meetings are the 26th at the Riverview Holiday Inn in Elmira from 6 to 8, and the 27th at the Regency in Binghamton from 2 to 4. And then public comments have to be in by November 8th. I mean, that's how quick this thing is happening. But we'll keep you informed.
All right, thank you. Tomo Shibata, and then Melissa Gatch.
I'd like to represent any organized stalking, which is victims, organized stalking torture victims group. I am myself a victim of organized stalking, and the following statement includes, somehow intermixes the general characteristic features of organized stalking and my sort of case as well. The characteristic features of organized stalking parallel those of organized crime in general, as observed by the presidential investigation of organized crime, I suppose, which includes, for example, the activity is conducted in a very methodological, systematic, or highly disciplined and secret manner, which really is very close to the modality of the police operation. And this is why the organized stalking groups often could predict, they are very good at predicting how the police will react to their manipulative tricks. And therefore, the infiltration into the police system is very well done. But it doesn't really they don't really have to bribe the officers with illegal drugs or cash, but sometimes it's as well. And also, according to the National Advisory Committee on Criminal Justice Standards and Goals report on organized crime, one of the reasons that the police is well easily inveigled into infiltrated is because of its secrecy of the operation. And my case as well, I was told by the Cornell Police Department Deputy Chief that there are a number of people who filed the criminal allegations against me, but I was never told of what, and I am filing a FOIA report on this, and the Cornell University attorney is now determining whether or not to disclose this information. Another problem.
One more minute, please.
Okay. Another problem is that the law enforcement are not only that often incriminate the victims, but also that they don't really help the victims' complaints as well. And that's partially because it is difficult to find a proof, because it is often done in such a premeditated manner, and the violence is often takes a very invisible form. Therefore, the Ithaca Police Department did receive my police report complaint, but has not really done enough of the investigation. So this is one of the system by which victims often continually suffer invisible violence. In my case, it's often that violence is done on my brain because, as far as I've heard, they do not want me to publish and speak about this problem to the public. And so I asked the people of Ithaca and Tompkins County to basically try to participate in stopping this problem before taking place, if any of you would have a knowledge of it, and if you could report this matter, any of the information that you obtained to the local police as well.
And let's wrap up, Tom.
And also have open dialogue about this problem to end this invisible crime against humanity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Melissa Gatch, then Sigrid Connors.
Hi, I'm Melissa Gatch, and I supervise the home care division
at the
health department.
If you could use the mic, Melissa.
Yeah. It's difficult for our patients and families to attend public meetings. Most are homebound or not able to get out to speak for themselves. I'm here this evening at the request of one of our patients' families to read a letter of support for the home care program. And it reads, "To all recipients, I'm taking this opportunity to express my dismay at the mayor's suggestion that the home care program in Tompkins County be eliminated. In January of this year, I lost my wife of 36 years. Her life had been extended by 4 or 5 years due to the diligence of the attending nurses and therapists and others. She was often hospitalized and treated because of her thoroughness and professionalism that they brought to her care. Also, I was able to work outside the home for my own sense of well-being. This allowed me to be fully insured to cover most of her care. Without meaning to slight anyone, I would single out Mary, Sandy, and Camilla and the supervisory staff for all they did for us. I am 71 years old and can finally retire, but would hope that others not be denied the care which Sharon received. If I were able, I would speak at the open hearings. However, I am still too emotional to do so, crying as I write this. I would encourage that it be read aloud at any open forum. Thank you."
Thank you, Melissa. Sigrid Connors and then Linda Finley. And I should have mentioned, please let us know where you live also, just the town, municipality. Thank you.
Hi, and thank you for this opportunity to speak before you tonight. My name is Sigrid Connors. I'm Director of Patient Services for the Health Department, and I have general oversight for patient programs, including the home care program. And I'm speaking to you on behalf of the home care program tonight because the decision of whether the health department will continue operating its certified home health agency lies in your hands at this point. This program has been 45 years in the making, and I think we need to give it the due diligence for time for a study to be completed, time for the recommendations to be implemented, and time for the very important questions and answers and conversation that needs to occur before this program is ended or sold or transferred to a not-for-profit agency. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sigrid. Linda Finley, and then Marge O'Brien.
Thank you. My name is Linda Finley. I live at 323 Eastwood Avenue in the town of Ithaca. And I'm speaking to you on behalf of 320 people who signed a petition, which I've sent up there somewhere, asking that the money be restored for Catholic Charities' two programs. I realize, and they realize, how very, very tight the budget is this year, but it's not as tight for any of us in this room, probably, as it is for the people that are served by the two programs that Catholic Charities will lose or have greatly diminished. The county budget removes $27,000, but Catholic Charities will lose $75,000. Without the matching funds from the state. And this amount of money does a huge amount of good in this county. The people who are served will not go away. They will be knocking on the doors of other places in the county. And very often they have no place else to go except Catholic Charities. So I'm asking you on behalf of the people who signed the petition, those names were gathered in just a few hours' time, to please consider this. The people who will suffer the most if this money is not restored will probably be children, because this is a time of such high stress for families and because many of these families simply have no place else to go. So please act with your heart to whatever degree you can. And I realize you're in a very hard and tight spot, but thank you for listening.
Thank you, Linda. Marge O'Brien and then Tommy Miller.
My name is Sister Mary O'Brien. I'm pastoral associate at St. Catherine of Siena Church and a former board member of Catholic Charities. I'm here to speak about what Phil Cox and Linda Finley have just spoken of, the loss of $27,000 in funding, county funding, and the subsequent loss of $48,000 in state funding if the budget cut remains as you have indicated. Last month, the Census Bureau reported that 1 in 7 American residents are struggling below the poverty line. Those facts seem to be bearing out locally, according to the influx of people requesting services from Catholic Charities, as Phil noted, 50 to 60 one each month. The weakened economy affects our community with greater needs, fewer resources, and more stresses on an agency like Catholic Charities just trying to help people meet their basic needs. Fortunately, when they walk in the door at Catholic Charities, all are treated with great respect and dignity once they enter. But we have this myth that we promulgate that the poor somehow enjoy coming to such agencies to fulfill their basic needs. These are people who must choose between critical needs like rent and utilities, or purchasing basic essentials like toilet paper, shampoo, laundry detergent. I realize, as Linda noted too, that you have very difficult decisions to make. No one wants their funds cut. No agency wants their funds cut. However, my question is, why must we always look to the poor to reduce our cuts? How is it that we fail to make the connection that when people are poor, when they are not valued or treated with dignity, when they are treated as inconsequential, then the concomitant issues that arise include depression, anger, violence, addictive behavior, and crime? Cardinal Mahoney from California says, "Any society, any nation, is judged on the basis of how it treats its weakest members, the last, the least, the littlest." As our county legislators, I urge you, I hope that you will do us proud by restoring the essential DSS funding to Catholic Charities. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sister, if I misspoke, your name is Mary?
Yes, correct.
I'm sorry, I want to get the record right. Thank you. Tommy Miller and then Leslie Appel.
I bring you greetings of peace and harmony. And I would like to plead the fifth as far as my location, but in all due respect to all of you, I reside in Cortland County, 113 River Street. But I do have a come to Ithaca to work and hug a tree, then I go back home. Okay. I pondered the question, what can I say within 3 minutes? Notwithstanding, I have colleagues in this city who are saying that Tommy can't say anything in 3 minutes. And I confess they are correct. That being said, when I ponder, what can I say for you to emotionally embrace the services that we provide? I came to the realization that I don't have a clue. But what I'm going to do is to invite you to script the camouflages when we say services, providers. And behind that is families. And I have the privilege of not only being employed through Catholic Charities part-time as Director of Family Empowerment Services, and one of the programs I have the privilege to direct is called Community Connection. I'm also employed through Francisco Racker Center with the Family Revolution Project as a facilitator. And I'm also involved with Cooperative Extension as a parent educator. And I mention that not to impress you, but to let you know how we collaborate and network in this community. And also, it's the gravity of the situation because all of those positions are part-time. As far as community connections, we cross all lines, race, employment. We have people, what I call from the hill, professors, who often lose their way, and unfortunately are involved with Child Protective Services. But I'm here to testify, if you will, that it's not an enabling program. It's preventive as well. I refuse to be a part of perpetuating the dependency cycle for any individual. Where there's a will, there's a way. The program, and when I use the personal pronoun I, let me clarify that. I say I because I take ownership for the responsibility that I have, but I, if you will, in the plural sense, collaboration with all of you agencies and what have you. Part of the families that I serve includes caseworkers. I was at the meeting when one of your colleagues mentioned services, and I was thinking to myself, I provide services to my colleagues as well. Because I'm in a unique position to be a conduit. Often families, based on missed opportunity, do not trust the system. For some strange reason, they trust me and my staff. And I'm able to give them a nudge, sometimes a shove, sometimes to metaphorically hold their hand to maximize engagement. I would like to, do I have one more minute? Thank you. I would like to invite you to consider how people in Africa, a tribe, greet them. They do not say, well, oh my goodness, you have to listen to one more provider as we make these tough budget decisions. They simply greet each other by, so how are the children? And on that totem pole of priority, it speaks to the fact that there's nothing, absolutely nothing more important than taking care of the children. So next week, as you deal with the gravity of the situation, making tough decisions, I want to invite you respectfully to look each other in the eye and ask the question, so how are the children? I want to impress you with staying in Africa, but I'm still trying to learn how to speak English. Thank you for this window of opportunity.
Thank you, Tommy. That was well done, 3 minutes. Leslie Appel, and then the group number one from the Trumansburg Youth Services.
Okay, I'm Leslie Appel of 99 Cayuga Street in Trumansburg, and I'm basically here representing any mom and any family of Tompkins County. My son was diagnosed with a speech delay at 1 year of age, and so the program I'd like to talk about is early intervention. I want to give you guys a firsthand example of a huge success thanks to the program. Bowden had speech therapy. He's now done with speech therapy. He's doing great, and I really can't thank the county enough for this program. I heard there are going to be potentially a budget cut to take away a service coordinator who is a nurse that works with this program, and I can tell you firsthand that if I didn't have the service coordinator I had help us through the process, we probably would not have enrolled, and that would have been a huge mistake. The program is amazing, the early intervention. So I just want to speak on behalf of that program. Thanks.
Thank you, Leslie. So group number one of Trumansburg, and then group number two.
Good evening. My name is Paul Fennick. I'm a school psychologist at Trumansburg High School. And I brought our students with us tonight, a few groups of kids.
Are they coming in?
They're out in the hallway. I'm speaking on behalf of the Trumansburg Ulysses Rural Youth Services, and it's something in my role that I've seen has been very important and very influential in our school. But as you've heard a lot today, I can speak till I'm blue in the face. I'd like you to hear from our kids, so I will bring them in.
Good evening. My name is Chris Smith, and I have learned a great deal of things while working for Carissa. I was employed at her workforce program in the summer of 2008. And this program really taught a lot to me. It taught me how to be appropriate in a job, in a job position. And it taught me how to manage a career so I can be productive in the work area. I learned how to manage my money and how to be polite in the workplace. I also have learned how to be respectful to my coworkers and how to manage a good job there, and this program was very influential to me. It was very important to me. After I left, it taught me a few lessons, and it prepared me for work in the future. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, anyone who speaks can have their own 3 minutes. So, go ahead.
We won't take that long.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Dorian Wagner. I'm from Trumansburg, and I have worked with Carissa for a very long time, and she has shown me the way around the workplace, how to write resumes, and how to talk to people when it's hard, and she's helped me a lot after school, and
take your time, it's okay.
And she has helped prepare me for the workplace in the outside world, and I hope that I can work with her in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Samantha, and I'm a high school graduate, and I went to something named the Teen Center at the Town Hall Ulysses. It was just a place where teens could go and hang out and do activities and watch movies and just even make new friends. And it was created because there was limited activities in Trumansburg. No one had nothing to do. So teen center was a big help. And if it wasn't there, I would have been at home and didn't have anything to do. I also participated at the community movie night program, and it was a whole bunch of movies. Started at not too late of a time, and it was time to get together with the community. And it was my first job, and it helped me find references, and it really helped me my job. And I feel that if these programs weren't there, teens would have a harder time finding jobs. I think it was a valuable experience. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, my name is Stephanie, and all the programs I participated in that Chris and Nancy ran strengthened every aspect of my personality. Through the programs, I gained confidence in myself, many job skills, and many guidelines for what is and what is not appropriate to do in pretty much anywhere, like the job scene or in public places. There's certain things you do and you don't do. And this program should continue to be funded because it helps kids learn things that the school doesn't teach. It provides opportunities for kids to get into the workforce. Along with getting into the workforce, the program teaches skills that are necessary for any job. And without all the programs I was involved in throughout my education, I'd never be where I am today. I learned the basic skills of filling out an application to how to dress for the interview and what to say in the interview. The programs kept me busy. I had fun and always learned some sort of valuable life skill. I participated in the Trumansburg Youth Group since sixth grade, and I'm currently in my second year of college. This program helps a variety of kids in a lot of different fields, and if ended, would bring disappointment to many and leave kids without something to do and perhaps keep them out of trouble. I use what I learned from this program every day, and every kid deserves the opportunity to learn these skills so that they can progress in life too. So this is a very helpful program. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Hello, my name is Richard. I have attended several of the programs Carissa has done, the first of which was the TANF, which is the Teen Workers Program. And in that program, I learned a variety of good job skills as well as other hands-on skills such as painting, which we did with the Main Street Bridge and fire hydrants. We learned some basic gardening skills, actually, that have helped me out a little in working my own garden now. And I've also learned a lot of actual, like, job skills such as how to fill out an application and how to do job interviews. Another program of which you've heard some about already is the Outdoor Movie Night program, in which we'd meet at the town hall and actually project a movie for families to come out and watch from the community. And we have always usually had a good turnout of at least, probably a good 10 or 20 different families every night, and it was a very enjoyable experience. And the last one I participated in was the Teen Center program, which was a great thing because in our town of Trumansburg, we don't have very much for kids and teenagers to do. But with the Teen Center, it gave us a place to go out and have fun and hang out with our friends that we didn't before. We were able to watch movies, play card games and board games and stuff like that. And the thing with these programs is not only are they very useful, they have actually been proven to work in other places as well, too, when kept in the budget. I know during one of the Teen Center things we did was we took a field trip to Schuyler County and Watkins Glen, where they run a very successful teen center there, which has helped a lot of kids. And I think if we continue funding these programs, they'll be able to help a lot more kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Hi, my name is Michaela Grover. I'm in eighth grade, and I've been doing TBIR youth program for a long time now. I think the programs are great for all ages. The programs help kids express their feelings or things and learning new things, kind of like I did. Over the years, I've learned how to overcome my own fears, like talking in front of people, hanging out with people that I'd never hung out with, or just meeting new people. I've learned a lot of different skills that I passed down to my family, trying new things like food, activities, and camping experience. Without the program going on after school, I'd probably be going straight home and on the TV until my mom got home. I don't want the program to end because there's a lot of kids that haven't tried the program that would probably like it. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Jack Reynolds. I would like to say that Ms. and Mrs. programs are fun as well as educational, interesting, and hands-on. I think it would be a shame for her programs to no longer take place. And, well, yeah.
Thank you very much.
I think that's all of them. Thank you for your time. They pretty much said it. These are kids who have trouble keeping and holding jobs. They're not involved in a lot of sports. These are the kind of things that have big ripple effects throughout our community. When they're involved and active, good things happen. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. And I have group 2 and 3. Is there?
That was all of them.
That was it.
We needed a little more time.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Cyrus Umrigar and Garrett Peabody.
I'm Cyrus Umrigar. I live on 165 Caroline Depot. Depot Road in Brooktondale. Our public lands are one of the few places where nature can flourish and where everybody can go to enjoy nature and partake in various outdoor activities. Gas drilling is not compatible with this use of the land. I don't want to take a lot of your time going into the details of air pollution, water pollution, increased truck traffic, etc. You've heard all of that before. I just want to take 1 minute to dispel a popular misconception about gas drilling. It's often stated that the reason for doing it is that it's going to bring a lot of economic benefit. However, comparative studies of communities that started off the same, and some which embraced resource extraction activities and others that did not, long-term studies have shown that in the long run, the communities that did not embrace resource extraction, on average, did better than communities that did. One clear example of that is consider the state of West Virginia. They've been doing coal mining for decades, maybe a century or more, and yet they are one of the poorest states in the nation. So I urge you to not allow drilling on county lands and to advise New York State to do the same on New York State lands. Thank you.
Thank you, Cyrus. Garrett Peabody and then John Ulrich.
Good evening. We are here regarding the proposed budget cuts to municipal youth funding. We are here representing Newfield Youth Services in Tompkins County. I myself served as a program manager for Youth Services in Newfield for a period of 2 years. I'm now with the Racker Centers, but I'm here with Garrett, who is actually part of that program for a period of 2 years, from 2005 to 2007, and I wanted him to come and speak about his experience in the program so you could hear from him, as opposed to me, what it was really about and how it influenced his life in a positive manner. So, Garrett, would you like to do that?
And are you John?
I'm John, yes. Yeah, sorry for that.
All right. Basically, the programs really helped me to really how to survive life as a teenager. And basically that I learned how to, if I'm in the woods, I can build fires, survive in the woods. And basically it just taught me how to do stuff that not regular daily basis that can't be taught in life to teenagers. And I just wish it just stay to help other kids like me. Thank you.
Thank you, Garrett.
Do we actually have a minute or two
yes,
left?
Yes, go ahead.
Garrett participated over the course of his 2 years in the program in 22 separate programs, some of which were geared toward wilderness experiences, some which were geared toward job readiness, some which prepared him for life beyond and outside of the classroom. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but sometimes it's hard to articulate that experience. But is there anything else, Garrett, that you'd like to add? Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. those are the only people who've signed up. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the legislature and the public? Robin?
My name is Robin Dubovy. I live at 33 Chelsea's Walk in Ithaca, and I'm here to speak for the Family Resolutions Project, which is a program that works with families whose children are in very vulnerable circumstances. All of the families have children involved with either foster care or could potentially be in foster care. I can't have families speak for this because of the confidential nature of these circumstances, but our goal is to work on safety and permanency and to act as neutral facilitators. We have two part-time facilitators that have the capacity of holding 250 family team meetings per year. And a family team meeting brings together all the people who are concerned with the well-being of this child, the family and their support system or people important to them, schools, therapists, counselors, could be a neighbor, but people that the family agrees to invite, and looks at how to get a permanent solution together. Everyone is at the table working toward a solution that will give that child the best possible opportunity to be in a permanent home. Having a neutral third party is extremely critical to this process because the system, so to speak, is often not trusted by families, and we want to bring people together so they can work on solutions and have success as opposed to be in a constant adversarial relationship and have children lost in the system for years. So I would like to just bring your attention to what is a very cost-effective program and prevents more expensive kinds of care by coming up with solutions.
Thank you, Robin. Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Irene Weiser, and I'm here from Brooktondale. And I feel like some of the others who have spoken about the fracking resolution, I'm very appreciative of the ways that this board has had vision and leadership in your opposition to fracking and your caring for this county and their lands. And I just want to voice my support and appreciation to you for this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene. Anyone else? Thank you. We have legislative privilege of the floor. And as far as the resolutions that we're going to be discussing, I will make sure that we move. Actually, the drilling resolutions will be early in the agenda, although we have a number of reports and things like that. But if you want to stick around and listen, then on the other hand, you might have time to go home and watch us on TV. So the first legislator I'd like to call on is Mike Lane. Come on up, yeah. However you can get here. It's a crowded room.
Good evening. It's one of the highest pleasures that I have as a member of the legislature to present this month the Distinguished Youth Award for someone from Tompkins County, who I think is well qualified. I'd like to present, first of all, the nominator, who is Deb Fisher, who is the treasurer of the Dryden Community Center Cafe. And we have a very nice letter from her about our distinguished youth. She'll tell you about her, and I'm going to turn it over to Deb Fisher. Deb?
Thank you. Yes, I'm on the board at the cafe, the Dryden Community Center, and very excited to be here and be able to introduce Natalie Kirkweiland to you. She when the cafe start, well, the community center, I should say, really started about 3 years ago. Natalie was right there with us in the beginning and actually came up with some great financial plans and always had wonderful ideas. She was our youth representative on the board, and she's a very energetic young woman and has lots of great ideas. She works very hard on a Dryden Beautification Committee that we have, and you can always find her out working on the beautification projects around town, and they look quite lovely. She's very active with her church, and has spent time volunteering, and ultimately became a paid employee at the Southworth Library in Dryden. She co-wrote and helped produce a condensed Shakespeare play at the end of the Southworth Library's Shakespeare seminar last year, and participated in the Rotary Youth Leadership Conference last summer and plans to share the many valuable things she learned through Interact. As I said, she's very active volunteering with the church and has been a Sunday school assistant teacher for many years and a member of the church choir. Anyway, we're all very glad to have such a committed and energetic young woman in Dryden to work on all these activities with us. And thank you to Mike for allowing us to do this as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Deb. You know, volunteerism is a family kind of thing, and that's why I'm so pleased to see Natalie's family here as well. John and Mary Kirk Weiland are well known in our communities for what they do for helping. The community beautification program that we have is headed up by Mary. John is a volunteer of our fire department and so many other things that they do. People can learn to be volunteers and they can teach others to be volunteers. We have so many wonderful kids. Look at the great kids that were here tonight. But we think in Dryden that Natalie's kind of special. So, Natalie, we'd like to present you with the Distinguished Youth Award. Would you step up here? This says it's the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award presented to Natalie Kirk Weiland in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community, October of 2010. And this award is sponsored by the Bangs Ambulance Service, the Tompkins County Legislature, Cuga Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and AMB Awards and Engraving. Congratulations, Natalie. We also have some gift certificates and other things we'd like to have you have.
Thank you.
Looks like some tote bags. And if you'd like to say something, we'd be pleased to hear from you.
Good evening. I would like to thank Mr. Lane and the Tompkins County Legislature for the immense honor of this award. And I would like to thank the Dryden Community Cafe and Mrs. Fisher in particular for the nomination. I am most grateful for the supportive community that I have in Dryden and that we all are privileged to be a part of as members of Dryden. I'm grateful for the many mentors that have supported me through my life, particularly Michelle Matro, for her phenomenal role model and her instruction in small business, leadership, and finance. I am grateful for the Rotary Dryden chapter for their support and giving me the opportunity to spend time at a leadership camp this summer and for the life-changing experience that brought and the insight that they provided me with, as well as the members of the Dryden Beautification Brigade who encourage me and are always introducing new ways to help our community, and also for my family and their dedication and support. So thank you very much, and good evening.
Martha, I just want to tell Natalie to thank her stylist because that scarf is banging.
She's her stylist.
Well, go ahead with your bad self, girl.
Thank you very much, Mike. Are there any other legislators who'd like to address the board? Will.
Thank you, Martha. Wow, we've had some amazing presentations tonight.
As some of you may have noticed, I was absent for a couple meetings. This is actually my first meeting of the legislature back, though I've been back for some budget committee meetings. The reason I wasn't here, as you probably know, is that I had an unexpected medical event and ended up at our Cayuga Medical Center suddenly one night. And I just wanted to quickly share with you a few things I learned in the process. Thing number one is that we have a wonderful medical center. And I kind of knew this, but it truly is. It's a jewel, and both physically and also in terms of the quality of care. And while I can't speak for every different corner, I can tell you that both in the emergency room and the surgical aftercare, the attention that I got from everybody, from the nurses to the aides to cleaning staff, I mean, just was extraordinary. And I cannot speak highly enough about that. So we are truly blessed to have that in our community. Lesson number two. I came to appreciate in a new kind of way the wonderful service that we are providing here through our cable casting of these meetings. I came out of surgery and actually caught the tail end of one of our meetings, and I heard Pete's presentation. I can't say I remembered a lot of it, but it felt good to have it there. And then I went back and have caught other meetings and also gone online to catch some sessions that I missed. Jim and you guys are doing an amazing job, and I can tell you, if you ever find yourself dozing out during a winter meeting, go back and look at it. You literally can sometimes understand what's happening better by looking at the cable than actually sitting here. So thank you, and it's a wonderful service. Last lesson learned is also something I knew, but it was really, really reaffirmed, and that's how quickly our lives can change and how we all can find ourselves in the need of help and support just in a flash. And I was fortunate to have a situation where I could go home and get the kind of care I needed afterwards. But I think we need to all be cognizant of that and do what we can do in this community to make sure that those support systems are here. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Will. Leslyn, and then Julie.
Thank you, Martha. Well, Will, I've lost my words now. Yeah, life can change in a flash. This morning, I don't know why, just had the opportunity to, I was trying to clear my head, I think, to pass by what's known as the jungle. And I was just blown away by how much I think it has grown. And it is concerning to me that we have so many more people in our community who are homeless, in need, and looking at what our winter might be like, beginning to wonder, for some of them. I was in a meeting later on in the day, and someone else was mentioning, one of our staff was mentioning having gone by there as well. I just thought, well, it must be the time of year to visit the jungle since people are going. And she too commented just about what she saw, you know, the many more tents and many more people. So as we deliberate in our budget, I just wanted to add that little tidbit for us to think about, that not only our children, but we have a whole lot of families who this economy is hitting hard, or harder, some of them hardest, and people are hurting. So just to keep that in mind. While we were budget deliberating last night, many members of the community were gathered at GIAC for the kickoff of the MLK community build. I'm not going to lie, I would have much rather be there than here. But and so for those of us who could not go and for others who could not, it was a well-attended event. I had an opportunity to catch the tail end of it. I want people to know that there are copies of MLK's reprinted, republished last book where do we go from here, chaos or community, available for the public to get. You can pick up a copy at GIAC or at the Village, and one more place, I don't remember where it is. And there's also a reading guide, and we're encouraging all of the community to participate in reading the book, to participate in brown bag, lunch discussions, phone conversations, just about really considering where do we want to go as a community. Do we want to go headfirst into chaos, or do we really want to come together as a community to help and support each other and build the quality of life that we want for our community? We're heading in that direction, but we still have work to do. So the book is available, and I want to say to folks, if I know we provided some through WDIC, but if there are other people that you know of, please encourage them to get a copy, and I encourage all of you to please read it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Julie, and then Carol.
Well, I'm going to try to tie in what I came to say with what I've been hearing just now. I don't know how many people actually subscribe to Esquire. It's something our family has always gotten and for a long time. And I wanted to tell you what's in the November issue. Several months ago, Esquire announced the formation of a commission to balance the federal budget. They brought together well-known Washington-based figures who are no longer in office. It was chaired by Larry O'Donnell and Senator Gary Hart, Senator Bill Bradley, Senator Bob Packwood, and Senator John Forth comprised the commission. They met for a small period of days. They had an agenda, how to balance the budget. It was amazing to see how they worked together when they didn't have to run for re-election, how they were able to compromise, move on when it wasn't practical, and they got a lot done. And I'm going to make a copy of this and put it on the desk out in our anteroom because I think it's really worth reading. And it's because of the way they were able to work together for common good that it ties into what I've been listening to tonight. I think that our legislature does quite a good job of considering what needs to be done without thinking about re-election, and that's what this is a valuable example of.
Thank you, Julie.
Martha, can I just add one quick thing? I'm sorry, and that is all of that what I said is also as a reminder to folks how important it is to give to United Way. Please, if you haven't done your pledge cards, I'm asking you to please do them. Please give as generously as you can. Every dollar helps. Thank you.
Thank you, Les. Carol and then Frank.
I just wanted to make sure that people here and watching at home were aware of an event that's taking place this weekend, which is the Finger Lakes Bioneers Conference. The title of it is We Make Our Future. Having heard the young people and all of the outpouring of community support for all kinds of things, I liked the name. Their website is wemakeourfuture.org, and this is a whole weekend of activities at downtown Ithaca and Ithaca College designed to engage and empower participants of many ages to take on climate change, sustainable planning, and to learn how to be a change agent ready for action yourself. So I urge you to look into that, and you can find more information at wemakeourfuture.org.
Thanks. Frank.
Thanks, Martha. First, Mike, I think you selected an outstanding youth. She seems like a very nice young lady. Those of you that were able to make it to the Brooktondale Apple Festival last Saturday, thank you. And then on to the Speedsville annual dinner. That was also Saturday. We had a pretty good turnout at both of them. The weather held up, and it was very nice. I just want to remind you again about Carrie's announcement about the I'm still going to call it the Breast Cancer Alliance. The Cancer Walk on Saturday. It's at 10 o'clock at Cass Park. Some of you may remember Nathan, Kathy, and I did this a couple of years back. We had the county banner, if you remember, and we did it in the rain. So we're going to do it again. Nathan's promised that he's going to supply. It was his job to do refreshments at the last one, and he messed up. So he said he would do it at this one. So any county legislator who would like to walk with us, please check in with Nathan. He'll take your order. And we're meeting at Cass, right?
You're going to come lead us on a horse?
I can do that. The other item I wanted to mention is the Farm Bureau is having their annual dinner Friday night. If any of you are interested in going, I know Pat and I will be there. And if any of the rest of you would like to come, you're certainly welcome to come. And speaking of farming, earlier this year I had the pleasure of serving on the NYSAC Blue Ribbon Task Force for Farming and Agriculture in New York State. We've had three or four meetings, and the report, I just received a copy of the I'd like to say this is the final report. It's the report that we did that came out of the several meetings we had, trying to show our state delegation how important agriculture is to the state. We thought we'd have it all done. It is not all done. There are seven or eight pieces. As you get into it, you find out there's more that you need to do. We'll be having another series of meetings, and Pat was kind enough to say that she would like to sit in on some of these along with me, and we'll probably be meeting perhaps over the winter, because there are several items that we need to add to this report. It was very interesting. Nothing new as far as highlighting certain items, but it was not able to deal with grapes, with which is viticulture. It wasn't able to deal in any manner, shape, or form in depth with equine. We have a whole new report that will be in addition to this. It'll be part two. But it was met with it was very well received at the NYSAC conference that I believe Martha was at, and several of you were at as well last month. Last item, just to remind you that by the time we meet again, and I know we don't like to talk politics around this table, but by the time we meet again, there's an election going to take place. Just a reminder to please go vote November 2nd. And that for some reason, I think Pam is involved in that. But just cross my mind, Pam. But good luck.
Thank you.
Publicly, good luck. Thank you. Thanks, Martha.
Thank you, Frank. Anyone else? Mike and then Pat.
We've been having a budget meeting or two, as we all know, and I just think it says something pretty nice about this legislature. I forgot how many of the review sessions we've had, and then we had our first voting session last night. But what I'd like to really compliment the legislature on is the attendance. And I've been very pleased. Last night we had 14. For most of the budget meetings, we've had anywhere from 9 to 14 people at a time. And we know that everyone has conflicts from time to time, but it shows a real commitment to a real tough budget this year. Jim's been doing a great job as the chair of the budget committee for our meetings, and I'm appreciative of it.
Thank you, Mike. Pat?
Part of what I intended to say, Frank mentioned in his last point that there will be an election prior to the time that this group meets again, and I'd just like to echo the urging that he has made that everyone go and vote on November 2nd, and it's very important. It's part of our democratic process, and I certainly hope that everybody gets out to vote Having said that, I also want to mention that because of Election Day on November 2nd, we will meet on Wednesday rather than on Tuesday, 2 weeks from today. I also wanted to thank all of the people who came and spoke to us this evening. I'm sure that you had to go to some extra effort to do that. People were very eloquent. I especially appreciated all the young people that came and spoke to us. So thank you. I can assure you that your comments are taken very seriously and by all of us. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat. Jim, does he hand up?
A couple things. Family Partnership Annual Book Fest is November 13th, and it's all about letters of the alphabet. And if you drive by the Ithaca High School tennis courts, you will see letters appearing every day, and they're on big 4x6 banners, and they get put up there magically in the evening, and you will see them all. And the last one will be the day before the Book Fest, which is November 13th. Secondly, thank you, Mike, for the compliment about the Budget Committee. It's only because all of you are here that we're able to do all that. It would be difficult. Someone has to do it, you know, so we do it. I appreciate what people have said and done during this, even though at some times I may look annoyed, but that's a look that I have. I'm sorry. The other part is I was really impressed with the Trumansburg group, especially the guy with the tie on with the Eagles on. So I'm going to hunt him up in the next few days and see who his stylist is. I was liking some of that.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Anyone else? Great. We don't have any special topic or presentation tonight. My report is brief. I would just reiterate what people said about the election, but add that it is not too late to get an absentee ballot for the folks out there. You can either call 274-5522 or go to votetompkins.org, and you do need to give yourself time to apply and then have the ballot mailed back to you. So it's not a good thing to wait till the last minute about. And we just met, and the polls are open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I would just also mention that another event this weekend is the Lift Every Voice and Work concert at, was that St. Paul's Church?
Yes.
Okay, 6 p.m. is a community reception where nonprofit organizations will have displays and tables and information available for people who are interested either in helping or supporting or need services. And the concert is 7 to 9 on Saturday night following that reception. And again, I want to thank everybody here who participated with the advertisement that we put in supporting in the program booklet out of personal funds. And I think it'll be a nice ad. So thank you all very much. And that is my report. Joe, County Administrative Report.
A very brief report tonight. An update on one thing. You may recall some months ago where we talked about the fact that our solid waste operation had been profiled in a book that talked about solid waste around the world, and we were one of two cities in the country that were profiled based on kind of the pioneering work that we do here. Barb Ekstrom let us know last week that book has won an award, won the Publications Award from the International Solid Waste Management Association. So she was quite proud of what has happened here. She had a pretty significant role in developing this profile. So even though it's a niche and it's kind of, you know, it's something that we don't often talk about, I think it is a good thing for this community to be at kind of the cutting edge of those efforts, and it's been recognized by others. In terms of kind of what I'm up to, I have been notified that the first meeting of the Indigent Legal Services Board is November 1st. So I'm looking forward to reporting back to you at your next meeting about how that inaugural meeting went. Yeah, it's right around the corner, so it's November 1st. The other thing I would add, and the last item on my agenda, and Jim will probably talk about it as a part of his report too from committee, is if you have motions that you'd like to have considered as a part of the budget process, Please forward them to us. As soon as you do, we'll turn them around to the departments, ask for kind of the details from departments on that, make sure that they're alerted, get them back to you. I've gotten some today. Hopefully we'll get more later. We did provide you a format that's voluntary. If you want to use it, makes it easier, use it. If you prefer a different kind of format, please do. But I guess my encouragement would be please try to get those in as quickly as you can so we can get those to the committee for consideration. That's my report.
Thanks, Jim. Any questions? County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I have no report.
Thank you, Finance Director David Squires. Why don't you want to talk about the meeting that we had at 4 o'clock? An annual meeting was held of the tobacco, and this is why I asked you to come to the microphone. The formal title is that, wait a minute. Tompkins Tobacco Asset Securitization Corporation. That is the local development corporation that...
Was David going to talk about it, or are you?
I was hoping David would, but he doesn't really want to. So anyway, we had the meeting today. So, all right. Any questions for David? Great. You just want to put you on the spot. Any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Jim? Think you have one in your folder?
I do. Resolution H is temporary amendment to the county's fiscal policy for the fiscal year 2010 involving rollover and personnel-related savings.
And Frank seconds that. That is needs 10 votes to be added to the agenda. This is the motion we talked about last night. Pat?
Did somebody second it?
Yeah, Frank seconded.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. All right. All right, all in favor of adding that to the agenda for tonight, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That is 14 to 1. Thank you, Jim. Anything else? All right, the consent agenda, and I'll read the titles. If there's any, if you want anything pulled off, just say so, and we'll put it into the regular agenda. Resolution A, authorizing 2010 Federal Transit Administration Section 5307 grant application for TCAT and Tompkins County. Resolution B, acceptance of New York State Office of Housing and Community Renewal Community Development Block Grant, Home Ownership 9. And Resolution C, Award of Tourism Capital Grants for 2010. And the appointment of Todd Bittner to the Planning Advisory Board. Are there any? Do I have a motion? Is it? I'm sorry, that's not. That was last consent. Frank moves. Is there a second? Leslin seconds. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. So I would like to, Pam McAsee, the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, perhaps you could take up your resolutions and then follow with your report.
Okay, that would be fine.
Thank you, Pam.
Do you want me to start? Do you want me to start with D? Do you want me to just go through them all? Resolution.
Sure.
Okay. I'd like to move a resolution D, resolution of the Tompkins County Legislature as the elected legislative body of Tompkins County, New York, in accordance with Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended the code, approving of the issuance by Tompkins County Development Corporation of up to $30 million aggregate principal amount tax-exempt revenue bonds of the Ithaca College Project, Series 2010, and I so move.
Thank you, and Pat seconds that. Is there any discussion? Ready to vote. All in favor, please raise your hand. What? Is there discussion?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't know how to throw my hand up that fast.
Kathy?
Thank you. I just wanted to get some clarification about this. This looks like a building project resolution. $30 million worth? Thanks, Mike. As you can imagine, being a member of the local construction industry, I'm delighted at the prospect of having this kind of work available locally for our local members of the skilled trades that are having a really hard time. And I wonder if Mike could just talk a little bit about the project and what the prospects are of it being bidded out to local contractors that hire local workers that keep the money in this community.
I sense an interest in local. The project is a combination of refinancing existing debt on the existing College Circle apartment complex, as well as new money, up to $20 million, to construct new college housing there. So you're correct in saying that there is new construction there. At the Development Corporation meeting, we discussed a variety of issues with respect to the project. Most of the things that the Development Corp was talking about was Ithaca College's employment and diversity programs, as well as wages and benefits it offers to its permanent employees. But I think if you want to send a message to the Development Corporation of your particular interest in who builds the project, I think this would be the time to do that. The Development Corp meets the first Friday of November to consider final approval of the tax exempt bonds for that project.
Thank you, Mike. I know you know my views on this pretty well. I think I'm also not alone in those sitting around the table and those who might happen upon this broadcast and recognizing that the employment situation in our county, like in so many others, is dire, and that the opportunity to keep these dollars at home would be much appreciated by the local residents that pay the taxes.
Carol?
Yes. Can I add to that my thanks to Mike and your staff for having done the work to create the Development Corporation, the Tompkins County Development Corporation, that enabled us to issue these bonds locally, and that another local element of that is the ability, or the keeping local of the fees that one is entitled to assess as part of the bonding of that facility, so of those bonds. So we appreciate that as well. It was a lot of work to get this going, and thank you.
Thanks.
Nathan and then Jim, did I see your hand up? Or?
No, you didn't.
Nathan and then Pam.
I didn't want to speak for the committee, but I will absolutely ask that question at the Tompkins County Development Corporation meeting.
Thank you, Nathan. Right. Pam?
Well, I think that we could ask that question, but is there something more specific that we can do? I guess that when this came through PDAC, we didn't bring that up, Kathy, and I appreciate you bringing it up. And I don't know if it's appropriate at this point for us to try and put some language in here. I mean, is that something that you have thought about, or do you have some suggestions as to how we should proceed with moving your suggestion forward?
That wasn't the intent of my comment. I'd rather get the meetings where these things are drafted. But in the absence of that, I make comments on the floor to call it to people's attention.
Yeah, I think four of the seven members of the corporation are here. So there is an application process. We will look, you know, we voted on this to send this to public hearing, and we will vote on it again next week, the first week of November.
Yes, and, in a couple weeks.
So we can discuss it at that time.
Okay.
This is not really the place.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't just letting it slide by. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Anyone else? Ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution D, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Okay. Resolution E. Resolution in opposition to drilling for natural gas on state forest lands.
So, moved by Pam, seconded by Carol.
I just wanted to suggest that in the title here, that if we could just say resolution in opposition to certain drilling. I mean, I'm not sure that we would oppose all drilling. Was this the intention of this? It felt like that. It was hydrofracking that we are looking at here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that. So I was going to suggest that we say certain drilling. if people don't have an objection to that.
The third whereas cites high volume hydrofracturing. Do you want to put that in the title or?
Well, that's fine. We could put that in the title. I just thought certain was easier to do, but to drilling hydrofracturing. High volume hydrofracturing.
Before drilling or?
Yes, before okay. Drilling.
Which line are you?
This is the title, Frank.
Sorry.
So resolution in opposition to
high volume
hydrofracturing drilling for natural gas on state forest lands. And
right.
Friendly, Carol?
That's friendly.
Okay. Any other discussion? Dooley.
In the third, whereas if the word draft could be inserted before the word plan, that's line 9, because it is a draft plan still, and this counts as a comment on it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Is that friendly?
Yes. Oh, it's very friendly. Thank you.
Anything else? Peter, and then Jim.
Yes. I would like to move an amendment. Whether it's friendly or not depends on the mover. But the amendment I'd like to move is to delete lines 13 and 14. And I'd like to explain why I'm offering this amendment.
Is there a second for that? Pat seconds that?
I would like very much to vote for this resolution. I strongly support it. I think its aims are right. I think that, I would say all drilling, not just hydrofracking drilling, because there's a lot of drilling that makes industry. I mean, you have to, if you're going to drill anything, you have to bring in roads. You have to, you've got these pumps going all day long. So, I myself would not have agreed to put that in there, but let it pass. The concern I have is that. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it again with the next resolution, that I believe that the fourth whereas is extremely weak, and as a matter of fact, is not true. I understand the feeling when you write a resolution. I mean, resolutions have piles of whereases, and why do they have piles of whereases? Because people think, well, I'm going to write down every possible argument I'm going to make, weak, strong, whatever, because one of them may catch the eye of the person who writes it, so there's nothing to be lost by putting in a whereas, so we'll just load it up with whereases. But unfortunately, the thing that's to be lost, for whatever it's worth, is my support of a resolution, which I would like very much to support. I've looked at this. I've looked into it. I don't particularly want to give you what I learned. I've said it before several times. It is certainly true that it is accepted by the community, the scientific community who is involved in this, and I'm not one of those members, okay? But I have consulted with people who are. It is accepted that this simply is not, that there's no evidence that this is a danger of any sort. And as a matter of fact, as I've said before, it doesn't even apply only to hydrofracking of gas. It's all natural gas. The argument is made that natural gas is not a cleaner gas than coal-based gas. And that, if one believed that, one would have to change the entire greenhouse gas the entire program for reducing greenhouse gas everywhere in this country, all over the country. There are vast pipelines for natural gas being built. It's always touted as the way to preserve the planet. Now, I find it unbelievable that this one piece of evidence could, in fact, have been overlooked by all of the people in that community. I was trying to think about how to present this. And to my mind, presenting this is like putting in a resolution in putting in a statement in another resolution saying there's mounting evidence that, in fact, the whole greenhouse effect is a fraud. You know, there are people who believe that, and some of the people that believe that, at least one of the persons that believes that, is an extremely distinguished scientist by the name of Freeman Dyson, who believes not that it's a fraud, but he thinks it's wrong. And believe me, Freeman Dyson is not a stupid man. But his argument has not carried the day. And I think a resolution like that, that would put in any resolution about greenhouse gases is the equivalent of putting that in this particular resolution. It weakens it, I think. It is not. I think it's fundamentally wrong. It weakens it, as far as I'm concerned, because anyone who knows anything about this business, looking at that, would react to it the way the hypothetical whereas that I talked about, saying that the greenhouse gas effect is a fraud, would react on somebody else reading another resolution. I find myself, it impossible for me to vote for this with that in there. And I'm just asking you to accommodate my problem and let me join the unanimous group in doing it.
Well, I had Jim and then Nathan and Carol, but Jim, I also would like to invite Mike, Ed, if you would like to address this, but let me first go to Jim.
My concern was all versus hydrofracturing on state land. That my sense would be that there should not be any drilling on state land. But just a comment.
Okay, well, let's bookmark that, and then Nathan, Carol, and Mike, and then if there's anything else to say, I'd like to.
All I wanted to say is that I'll support Peter's motion, but not because I necessarily agree with everything that he said. And I think it's not necessary for us to all discuss and debate his what he's saying to any large extent, because we've already done this probably many times.
Carol?
I should have called the question. I know. Ah!
Yeah. I was also going to ask, at the end of what I'm going to say, I was also hoping that Ed might be willing to, or be offered the opportunity to weigh in. My understanding, and for, you know, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that the forest plan being proposed by the DEC itself cites the fact that gas is a cleaner burning, will produce lower emissions in its rationale for the reason to allow drilling of this new nature on forest lands. So in addition to their point to our suggestion that this is an economic activity that is counter to the interest of our forest lands, the economic activity and the recreational activity. This whereas I think is in there to make the distinction between what seems to be accepted, as Peter points out, that gas drilled by traditional means may be cleaner burning, is cleaner burning. That's what the scientific evidence says. Gas, certainly when burned at your stove, when you burn the gas and you burn from the coal, is cleaner burning. But that gas, when it's obtained by this very untraditional, newer method of extraction, scientific questions are being raised about whether that is in fact cleaner than coal. And I do understand Peter's point that we might not want to be so absolute as this statement, and if other people were willing to do it, I would offer an amendment to your amendment rather than take it out entirely to offer wording that I would work on as you discuss, or I can do it now if that be your pleasure, something about whereas scientists are currently studying whether life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas developed using this method is in fact cleaner. So I would, you know, if I would go there if after some more discussion if that seems to be acceptable.
So you're not making that amendment to the amendment now?
If I see some nods or shakes, I'll go there now versus let some more discussion happen.
All right,
first.
Let's have some more discussion. Okay. Mike and then Frank and then Ed.
I just thought for folks at home, my understanding, Peter, you're not opposed to the resolution in opposition to hydrofracking.
No,
but simply a part of the whereas has talking about emissions from burning of natural gas.
Just our lines 13 and 14. That's the only
thing. Yeah, but everybody at home doesn't see that.
That's the whereas evidence is mounting that the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas developed using high volume hydrofracking is equivalent to and perhaps greater than that of coal. And it's just that. While I have this floor, could I answer Carol's statement?
Let's go to Frank and then Ed, okay. And then I would like this to weigh in, and then we'll come back to you. Mike, you're finished?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This resolution is a cornucopia of everything you ever wanted. I think it goes back to what Peter was saying. It addresses greenhouse gas. It addresses the drilling activities. It addresses the physical restraint and constraints on the forests, on our migrating species, on outdoor recreation, and on and on and on. Because I represent, two of the towns that I represent comprise the greatest share of state forest land in Tompkins County, I'll be supporting this resolution because I really do think that my towns are concerned about part of this resolution, well, more concerned about one part of it perhaps than another on a scale of 1 to 10. Both Caroline and Danby have been very concerned about the parts, I guess it would be about line 18 through the whereas that are covered, it's covered by line 18 through 22. The fact that the and you've heard it at the TCOG meetings and also around the table. My gut feel is we haven't had a report, by the way, from Katie Borghella, who, as I understand it, is our representative to the State Forest Plan. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. Isn't she our representative, Ed, to one of the State Management Plan boards? I'm sorry?
The Open Space Committee, but that does not deal with
this. Okay. Barbara Blanchard used to be our representative to that, and periodically, maybe once every 6 months or so, we'd have a report around this table. I don't recollect the last time we had such a report, and it would be wise for us to know what's going on at the state level. But the concern I have is where I don't want to have the state is scrambling for every nickel that it can squeeze out of anything. I'm not a big fan of hydrofracking. And, of course, as I said, the majority of the lands that we're talking about here are in two of the towns that I represent. So I will be supporting this, and I hope Peter's suggestion of removing that one part it prevails, because I do agree with that. But I just want to raise a specter that I hope we will consider that there are other things that can go on state forest property. It's not our property. I mean, indirectly, it's our property, but we may not be able to control everything. And my residents are very concerned about the water. I am as well. And for that reason, I'll be supporting it, and I hope that if you or Carol offer that amendment to pull that part out, I'd be very happy to see that as well, because I think that's a statement that I agree with your assessment, Peter.
Point of order, I have offered an amendment.
The amendment is on the floor?
Yes, my amendment.
But not your amendment.
Right.
I beg your pardon.
That's right.
Sorry, Peter.
Ed, would you like to address this? Would you help us out?
I'll just try to explain as best I can what the information that whereas is based upon is about. And I think it could be phrased in many different ways. It's certainly not been in the scientific literature and been vetted in that way. That's absolutely correct, which is the way things like this usually get resolved. But there are folks at Cornell working on a paper to submit to a journal at the present time that will make this assertion. There are two pieces to the reasoning behind that belief, or that the evidence that's mounting, as it says here. One is that, and this is the larger part of the research, is about the fact that there are extensive leaks in the natural gas transmission system, on pipes, on the pipes going from the wells to the major transmission lines and in the transmission lines themselves. And methane, which is most of natural gas is made up of methane. Methane is a greenhouse gas that's 70 times more potent than CO2 in the short term. It's extremely effective at trapping the heat from the sun that re-radiates, which is how global warming works. So that's the assertion, is that when you take into account this methane leakage throughout the process, that the natural gas, the whole process of developing and using natural gas, may be equal to or even perhaps even greater than some of the other fossil fuels that are usually felt to be much more dangerous greenhouse gas emitters. Yes, the burning of natural gas, I don't think anybody contests that burning natural gas versus burning coal or maybe even oil is less emitting, but it's the whole process that they're looking at. And they believe, based on our discussions with people in the industry, that this is well substantiated, but it hasn't been out there in the literature, and it hasn't been, you know, gone through that kind of a debate or review. The other piece of it came in part from what some of these folks are looking at, but also when we reviewed the DEC's draft supplemental environmental impact statement, and they had an emissions calculation in there for the process, and we were shocked when you add up the potential emissions from development of a gas resource in this county, that it would be multiples of times greater than our entire emissions from this county over the life of that process of developing that whole resource if it were done comprehensively in this county. So it's kind of a combination of two things. One is just the natural gas system and the leakage and the extreme potency of methane, and the other is actually data taken right from the DEC's SGEIS on how much emissions they say there would be, because some of it's leakage that they account for. A lot of it is the fact that it's such an energy-intensive process to get this gas that there's a lot of emissions associated with that. And that narrows the benefit that there might be of natural gas over others. So has it all been out there in the literature and viewed and debated? And no. And I think that's probably why it says evidence is mounting, because those of us that have been privy to hearing the argument about where this is all coming from, it seems quite plausible, if not convincing, that that will end up being borne out to be the case. So that's what I can say about that.
Thank you, Ed. I'm going to take a turn, then Pat, and then Peter. I hope we leave this as it is. I think the, or at least consider something like Carol's thinking, but because the third whereas points out, as Carol had pointed out, that the reason the state is considering this is that supposedly this gas will lower greenhouse emissions, that you really need to address that's critical to this issue. And I think I think I've probably described this before here, but I'll just reiterate that in the state of Texas in 2009, the state realized in some way that they had a very big problem with the emissions, the leaks during transmission, and they tried to put a cap on gas leaks of 5%. The EPA estimate is that there's 1% leak, 1.5% leakage throughout the system, but the EPA sort of admits that's a really rough estimate. Texas tried to put a 5% cap on it, and the industry fought that back, saying they couldn't possibly get the leakage down to 5%. So, and the reading I've done on this is that basically it's cheaper for the companies to let the gas leak than to try to find the leaks and to close them because gas is so cheap. So somebody has to actually require the companies to do this. So this is why it takes a lot of work to get this evidence, and the fact that the evidence doesn't exist yet doesn't mean it's not true. I think, Peter, you should certainly, of all people, understand that it may take quite a bit of work and time for an idea that challenges mainstream thought to break through. That doesn't mean that it's not something worth looking at. And since this plan, the state is apparently considering doing this because of the greenhouse gas emissions issue, I think this really needs to be addressed. And I would also mention the other part of it is that the sort of overwhelming scale of drilling, it's not just, you know, a pad here and a pad there, but because there's gas, you know, throughout the state or a great deal of the state, and that this gas would sort of flood the market and then make it more difficult for people to actually make a transition to renewable fuel because gas would become even cheaper. I think that's part of the whole life cycle. That's part of the whole picture of this. And I think it would be extremely damaging for New York State to go down this path. I see all that as part of the context for this resolution. And I think it's important to leave that in there. And we don't have to all agree on everything. So Pat, and Peter, then Dooley, then Carol.
Thank you. A couple of things. First of all, I find that this discussion has been very enlightening, although I think I'm more confused now than I was before we start. I greatly appreciate and respect the information that's been put forward. And I think that we can all learn a lot from these kinds of discussions, so I appreciate the fact that we have them. I do disagree with the necessity for including this whereas in this particular resolution. As I read the resolution, it appears to me to be a very strong resolution, even without that particular whereas. And given the degree of disagreement that we have here, it does seem to me that there is a value in having perhaps a unanimous vote to send the kind of message that we want to send versus having a split vote in the legislature. And I don't think, it's certainly not clear to me that one position or the other position is absolutely correct, so it's difficult for me to say with certainty whether it should stay in or come out. But in the interest of sending as strong a message as possible, I will vote to take out this particular whereas. I'd also like to say that I think that I'm the person that's the representative now to the board that you were speaking about, Frank. And this is, if I'm correct, this is the board that meets over in Cortland at the DEC periodically.
The open space?
No, not the open space. It's the forest. I've forgotten
the forest
title.
Forest Management Board?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it would meet at the DEC on Fisher Avenue.
And I have not been able to attend the meeting that occurred earlier this year. I had a conflict with one of our meetings and could not attend that. The next meeting of that group is Thursday night this week, and as you know, we have a budget meeting that night, so unfortunately I'm not going to be able to attend that meeting either. So I'm really sorry, but I haven't been able to make it to those meetings because of conflicts.
Okay. Peter, and then I guess
yeah, let me answer a couple of things. That first, Carol. Carol, it's not that the gas is different from hydrofracking than it is from normal drilling. The effect has to do with the loss in the transmission lines, as Martha said, and that's the same for all natural gas. Hydrofracking, non-hydrofracking, it's all pretty much pure methane that is the product that comes, and if it leaks out of the transmission lines, then it has a very serious problem. But this is the work of one researcher at Cornell, a respected researcher at Cornell, but one person. It has not been published. It has not been peer-reviewed. There is a commission of the National Academy of Sciences which has looked at this and ends up saying that it's the right thing to do to reduce greenhouse gases, to use as much methane as possible. Martha, it's inconceivable of me to believe that this distinguished panel has missed this point. I mean, it's no secret that a molecule of methane is 70 times as bad as a molecule of CO2. That's been known forever. You can look that up in a textbook someplace.
And we all knew that, Peter.
What?
We all knew that.
Well, okay. So you asked me to believe that this group has entirely missed this huge effect. I simply can't believe it. It's inconceivable to me. So that's all I have to say. That's why I have to oppose it, okay? Because of the fact that it just can't be.
All right. I have a long list here. So Dooley, Carol, Brian, Jim, Mike. Just a correction, Peter. I think what Ed was saying is that it's not just the leaks, but also just by the using the DEC's figures about the cutting down of trees, about building roads, about the trucking, all of those things also added up to the equation. So, Dooley.
Well, from time to time, there are emerging issues that work their way through the scientific community. Some people pick up on them earlier than others. At the time the DEC's DGEIS was first released, and we all had a chance to go to a hearing that was held locally when DEC didn't schedule one, one of the emerging issues that I had in my comments then was that there is a need to look at the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from this particular technology. I already knew about it then, so I included in my comments as a layperson. And that's not a big deal. It just means that it's been out there for people who've been paying attention to this issue and considering what needs to be looked at. Comments went into the DEC that this should be looked at. Comments have gone into EPA that in their study they should be looking at life cycle emissions. And so I think that we will hear more about this rather than less. And to be on the early side of publicizing this seems not unreasonable to me. Carol's point, and Martha reiterated it, that the draft plan uses as one of its rationales that methane is the good stuff, is the very reason to include a comment on it in our resolution. And I hate to lose your vote on this, Peter, but I think that including something specific to the draft plan is more important.
Carol, Brian, Jim, and Mike.
Yeah, I would answer Peter in just briefly in that the part of the issue here is the greater mileage that these transmission lines represent, coupled with, it's my understanding of what Robert Howarth is studying, coupled with the emissions from the trucks, disposal of the fluids necessary for this method of extraction, and even differences between in the southwest, evaporation takes place naturally, but in the northeast, it's not clear how we're going to reduce this fluid. So all of that will take energy, and the EPA has been interested enough in this that they've asked for further information about it as part of their study. My understanding is they're talking to Professor Howarth, and that he is probably not the only person across the country. He's the one that we know because we hear him here. In terms of how to proceed with this set of amendments, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I do have wording to offer, which I could, you know, offer as an amendment to Peter's amendment, but I'm not sure that it does justice then to Peter. So what I'd like is a procedure by which we can first consider changing the wording of this whereas to include the references I was talking about, and then allowing an up or down vote on Peter's amendment. And the only way I can think of to make that happen, if I just suggest amendments to his amendment, then I'm kind of subverting his chance for people to vote on his and whether to include it. The only way I can think of to make that happen would be to maybe have you table yours for a few minutes while we change this and see if that's friendly, and then have that one come back. I don't know if that's
allowed. We could amend his amendment, and people, if they like what yours says, then they could vote on that, and that would presume that they would rather see it in there. Or if they don't want to see it in there at all, they will probably vote against yours, and then we'll vote on Peter's. And I think there's nothing wrong with doing that. Or saying that we want to.
Okay, so just offer? Just offer? Okay, so I'll just offer.
Yeah, go ahead.
It would take out the words evidence is mounting that and replace it with whereas scientists are currently studying whether, and it would then proceed, the life cycle as it is here, the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas developed using high-volume hydrofracking. And I would also then take out the word is, and add, unlike those from more traditional methods of gas drilling, are equivalent to and perhaps greater than from coal.
Than those from coal. Would you read the whole thing again, Carol?
Yep. Whereas scientists are currently studying whether the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas developed using high-volume hydrofracking, unlike those from more traditional methods of gas drilling, are equivalent to and perhaps greater than those from coal.
Okay. And is there a second for that amendment? Pam seconds that. So I have a list. I'm going to give Brian, Jim, and Mike a chance if they want to address this amendment, since you've been on the list. So Brian, first Brian, sorry. Then Jim, then Mike, if they want to address.
What are you asking to?
Since you've been on the list, if you want to take your turn.
Do I have to speak to that amendment?
You don't have to. I'm asking, but that's what's on. If you want to speak to this amendment, I'm going to give you the turn because you've been waiting.
Okay. I'd rather not speak to any amendment.
Okay.
We have a title of a resolution, which is something that probably we all agree on. And to sit here and disagree and argue about the science, which we've already, I guess, agreed that it's evolving and that there's not going to be, it doesn't sound like, consensus on that, maybe we should take that out. And I know we have another resolution right after this one that's basically the same thing. And what we're trying to say is we symbolically want to tell people, look, we don't want drilling on this land. And to get bogged down with the evolving science that may be true, may not be true, I don't know enough about it either way. But why should that hinder what it is, the object of what we're trying to do? That's all I've got. Thanks.
Okay, I would point out if the fourth whereas would come out, it might make sense for the third whereas also to come out. But I'm not in a position to make that as a motion. Jim?
I don't mean this to be flip, but are we, given what Peter said and what the resolution and talking about someone who is studying it, are we basically drawing a conclusion and blowing someone's whole life in terms of what they're going to find out in their research? By having this resolution, we are deciding how that research is going to come out. Are we drawing a conclusion here?
Ed?
I actually talked to Professor Howarth about that issue. He said he was fine with citing their website, using their research as it stands now, in any argument we would want to make on this issue. So from his perspective, he doesn't have a problem with it.
Okay. Thank you. Mike?
I think that Brian expressed it pretty well. I think we want to vote on this, and I'm going to call the question on the amendment to the amendment to try to push this along.
According to the Peter Stein rule, you can't make a comment and then call a question. So I saw Peter's hand up.
Well, let's see. I guess what you're saying is that my motion was to get rid of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol's motion is what? To change my motion to get rid of this to some other amendment, which I will also move to get rid of. But if she wants to, that's fine. But the what she's saying is not true. I mean, that's not what Howarth is saying. Howarth is not saying that there's anything particularly about the hydrofracking. He's saying maybe that other thing contributes to it, but the basic thing is the leakage of methane, which is the same in all natural gas. That's his basic argument. So I think it's just plain wrong.
I ask to call the question, please.
All right. Is there a second?
Yes.
All those in favor calling the question on the amendment to the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. That passes. So we will vote on whereas scientists are currently studying whether the life cycle of greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas developed using high-volume hydrofracking, unlike those from more traditional methods, are equivalent to and perhaps greater than those from coal. Nathan?
Are we on the amendment?
We are voting. I was just reading the amendment so that we could vote on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Point of order.
There's no discussion. It's time to vote.
Okay, good.
Point of order.
Yes.
What you should be deciding is whether to consider Carol's motion or my motion as an amendment to this. My motion is to remove it. Right. So that's what you should be voting on.
We're voting.
I offered you the opportunity to do one at a time, and you didn't.
But that's, well, all right, I won't argue. The fact is, Jonathan.
Excuse me. We are voting on this, whether the amendment that's on the paper here should be changed as Carol has suggested. You can say, yeah, that's better than the other one, and then still, in a minute, vote to delete the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Or keep the whole thing.
Wait a minute. What are we voting on? I'm sorry.
We're voting on Carol's language that is meant to mollify your concern that this is too definitive a statement, so hers is more conditional, saying scientists are studying this.
Well, that's not what Robert's rule says you have to do, but let it pass.
Please raise your hand, Peter, if you have something to say. All right. All ready to vote on all those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That fails, 5 to 8. Peter?
I call the question.
The question then would be on your motion, your amendment to the resolution, which is to delete the fourth whereas altogether.
Yeah.
All right. All those in favor of calling the question on that, please raise your hand. 1, 2. We're calling the question. All those in favor of ending debate on Peter's motion. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. That passes, 12 to 3. So the motion now is to delete number lines 13 and 14.
I have my hand up first.
There's no discussion. It's time to vote.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
We just called the question.
Oh.
Okay. So all those in favor of deleting, in favor of Peter's amendment, which is to delete the fourth whereas, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Please raise your hands again. It's really hard in that corner. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That passes 8 to 6. Carol, Nathan has been trying.
Call the question.
We're on the main motion.
I call the question.
What has passed in second? That's right. Actually, with respect, Jim had raised another issue earlier, and I said, let's please bookmark that about whether this is all drilling and had to do with the adjustment to the title. So I'll just put that out there. All those
point of order. Those who want to consider Jim's suggestion could just vote down calling the question.
That's right. And I was just reminding people that we had that hanging out there. So, as well as a suggestion that I had made to get rid of the third whereas. So, all those in favor of calling the question at this point on the main motion? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That passes. That fails 4 to 9. So, Dooley, we're back to the main motion.
I would like to offer an amendment to the main motion, and it's going to sound partly familiar because I think Carol's initial wording was very good, but when she added, unlike those from more traditional methods of, I can't read the writing, but what?
Drilling.
Drilling. What?
Yes, drilling.
That and the change to the title, I think, is unfortunate. And I would rather, my amendment is to go back to the original title and to change the fourth whereas to read, whereas scientists are currently studying whether the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas development using high volume hydrofracturing are equivalent to and perhaps greater than those from coal.
Madam Chair,
point of order
for real. Yeah. We just voted to take that fourth whereas out. With all due respect to Dooley, can we move on with discussion of the entire resolution with that out of there?
She's entitled to make a motion.
It's a different
point of order.
Amendment.
She's entitled to make the motion. Pat?
My point of order is essentially the same as Frank's. I don't think that she's entitled to make a motion that's the same substantially as the motion that we already defeated.
I don't consider it the same substantially.
Just a second.
I would consider it in order.
I
would consider her motion in order.
And I rule that it's in order. And if it lacks a second, then, or if we vote it down, then that's done. It is not the same. Maybe people voted against that inclusion for the reasons that she's suggesting. So, is there a second to Dooley's amendment? Kathy seconds that. You want to explain that, and then Peter?
I'm in part responding to what Peter said, that the concern it really is about all drilling, but what I understand is being looked at now is the particular technique proposed for Marcellus Shale. So I was trying to cover both important points in this amendment.
Peter, then Brian.
I'd like to move to sever the two parts of Dooley's amendment. The problem I have is that either you have to accept both or reject both. And I myself am in favor of doing the part that said return the title to its original. But, of course, I don't accept the other part. So the right way of doing that in Roberts is to sever it and then consider both those two parts of her amendment separately.
Okay.
If that's friendly, would she allow that to be done?
Dooley, is that okay? It would be
simple. If it makes you happy, sure, Peter.
Kathy, is that okay? All right, let's talk about Dooley's, about the change to the fourth whereas, so that it simply says scientists are currently studying whether the life cycle of greenhouse gas emissions, et cetera, as is in your printed version. Correctly, is that right?
The title, yes.
No, I was just going to the fourth whereas, not the title first.
You might need to say that again, Martha.
I was asking, what you're asking for on the fourth whereas is that the fourth whereas say scientists are currently studying whether the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas developed from using heavy oil extraction are equivalent to or perhaps greater than from coal.
Those from coal.
That's your motion. It's been moved and seconded. Frank.
Would you consider changing one word in that to, if instead of greater than coal, that it is different than coal? Because it actually may be less. You really don't know. No one really knows at this point. Think about it.
Sure, I would consider that change. I don't know if Kathy would.
I'm not sure where you're putting that. Say that again.
Changing the word greater, where it says greater than coal,
mm-hmm.
to different than coal.
Different.
Because it may not necessarily be greater. It may actually be less. And if the science that's being studied, if the jury's still out on that, you really don't know.
That's okay, Dooley and Kathy, you understand. That's understood. Okay. I think I had Brian was next. Brian?
Yeah. I don't know. I was just going to say maybe we should think about sending this back to committee. I've seen situations like this before where we're almost stalemated and going back and forth. I personally disagree. I think that amendment is almost exactly like the one that was defeated. Unless there's a huge hurry for this, that they're going to start drilling in the next month, that the whole goal, I would think, would be at the end of the day, we have consensus, all of us, and can send that message. I don't see how we're going to get that,
Martha,
tonight.
Can I ask?
Just
Ed,
a suggestion.
Is there a deadline on the comment period? Then I'm going to call myself.
There is a deadline, October 29th, before we meet, the legislature meets again.
Okay. I'm going to ask Vice Chair Kiefer to come to the podium so I can make a motion.
Mark,
I would like to amend your amendment to to delete the second, the third whereas and the fourth whereas. And if I get a second, I will explain that.
Second.
Thank you. If you read through this thing, if you take out the whole thing that is, if you take out the fourth one, but you leave the third one in, it leaves the impression that we agree that greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas are lower than for other fossil fuels. If you just take out the third and the fourth, it's a very strong statement against the against drilling in the state forests. And we can have the argument about the rest of it in another forum.
Peter and then Carol.
I call a question on Martha's amendment.
Did anybody more make a second?
Yeah.
Second.
No, second your motion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a debatable motion. All in favor of calling the question, raise your hands. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think I see 10. All those opposed, raise your hands. I'm opposed. That's 10-3. That doesn't add up, does it?
Yes.
Someone left?
Nathan
left.
Two
left.
So that passes 10-3.
They're lost in the forest.
Thank you. So now we will vote on the actual amendment proposed by Martha.
Which is
to strike the third and fourth whereases, as I understand it.
Okay. Just point of order, Madam Chair or Vice Chair.
We did not vote to put the fourth whereas back in. This resolution already has the fourth whereas out.
Right.
So help me out with
well
this.
Well done, sir. So my motion should just be to strike the third one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
I'm just trying to follow this logically, right?
And don't remember. And this is as a substitute to Dooley's?
You can make an amendment on an amendment.
We did, yeah, well, because we didn't vote to put Dooley's fourth whereas back in.
Let's not converse.
Okay.
Let's just do this.
Point of order.
So the point of order is well made. We need to vote on deleting the third whereas.
Point of order.
Pat?
How can we vote on deleting the third whereas when we have a different motion on the floor regarding number four that we haven't voted on yet?
That's what we're voting on.
She's voting to amend the amendment.
We didn't vote on. We didn't vote on adding the language that Martha suggested.
Clarification.
It's a substitute.
She's moving to amend the amendment. So the
that. Right, and we didn't vote on that yet.
Yes.
My point of order is that we have to vote on the motion on the floor before we can move to strike the third whereas.
I have a point of order.
Right, the motion that is on the floor is a flawed motion, but we need to vote on it anyway. So if you're ready to vote on removing the third and fourth whereases, think carefully before you vote because you'll be taking out a different whereas. The fourth is gone, so there's a new fourth whereas now. Peter.
Yes, point of order.
We're not supposed to be talking. Yes.
I just do say, on my own behalf, I'm pretty good at this. The motion on the floor now is whether we're going to accept the motion on the floor before Martha made her motion is whether we are going to agree to delete the fourth paragraph. That was the motion on the floor. We hadn't decided on that yet. We didn't have the final vote. So Martha's motion is very much in order.
We did.
That's why we were raising
all right,
the question.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I'm
tired.
But,
Martha, would you like to take back your your podium.
If it would be preferable and simpler to just deal with Dooley's first and then go back to my intention, that'd be fine.
Yes. You're right.
I'll withdraw my amendment, but I'm going to stay here for a while.
Okay. So the question's been called on Dooley's.
Yeah, Pat's right.
All right.
All right, I get to preside over this. Thank you so much. The question is called on my amendment, which means you're going to vote all in favor of my amendment. Raise your hands.
Could you? Are we voting on I need to have you state what it is that we're voting on, please.
I need Kathy to do that for me.
Whereas scientists are currently studying whether the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas developed using high-volume hydrofracturing are equivalent to and perhaps different than from coal.
I have nothing in front of me. That's why I can't read. Oh, thank you.
That's yours. Are we voting to call the question or
The question was called. We're voting on what Kathy just read you.
Okay. But
which essentially is to put it back.
Is that a point of order?
What do you just a clarification. You had a two-parter. It was the fourth whereas and also
the
title.
It's been separated.
Okay. It has been separated. That's all I want to know. Thank you.
We accepted that.
So call for the vote.
Yes, all in favor of what Kathy just read. Raise your hands. Well, this is silly. All opposed. I get a count of 1 to 12.
12.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, so I understand that line 13 and 14 are now gone. Correct? Okay. I would like to delete lines 9 to 11.
Second.
You were raising the second, not the speed.
Second.
Who wants to? Will.
Colbert.
It's seconded by Brian. All in favor of the resolution, raise your hands.
Calling the question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All in favor of calling the question, raise your hands. And all opposed? I get 11 to 2. So the question is called. All in favor of the motion, raise your hands. All in opposed, raise your hands. I get 11 to 2, Kathy. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Kathy, did your wording survive?
So we have the main motion in front of us.
No.
Peter.
We now have to consider the second part of Dooley's amendment, which is to change the title. We separated them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to. Well, I can't do it now.
All right. Let's just clarify, Dooley. What was your motion on the title?
To go back to the original title.
Okay.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded, Peter.
I'd like to call a question on that.
How about we just? Is everybody ready to vote?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor of changing the title back to the original text, please raise your hand. Any opposed? I didn't count. Please start again. All those in favor of changing the title back to the original text, please raise your hand. Carol, understand. Okay, one.
Oh, this is the original title?
Yeah. Original title. So it will say, resolution in opposition to drilling for natural gas on state forest lands. Okay, that's the original title.
That's a new one. I'm for the
in
original
favor
title.
Of that. Please raise your hand and keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. That passes. 9 to 4.
Am I allowed to vote against my own my separated motion?
Fortunately, that's fine. Yes.
You can vote
so
against
that is
it.
The
you
title.
You can't speak against it.
As long as Peter doesn't object, it's okay.
Peter?
Yeah, now we have to vote on the whole motion.
Correct.
Whole, so I'm calling the question on that.
Can I just take a wild guess and say we're probably ready to vote on it?
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor of the main motion with the title Resolution in Opposition to Drilling for Natural Gas on State Forest Lands with the lines 9 to 14 deleted, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. We can take more time to pass the unanimous resolution than anybody else I know. All right.
I was having a flashback to the budget committee.
Resolution F.
I'm just terrified of introducing this resolution.
Oh, it is.
Well,
okay, here we go.
This was awful, too.
Resolution prohibiting leasing of county-owned land for natural gas drilling using high-volume... What? Is someone interrupting?
Keep going.
High volume
hydrofracturing.
Okay. And I so move.
Is there a second? Carol seconds that. Brian.
Before we get going, and I should have done it a little bit earlier. This has been seconded, right? This is discussion?
Yes.
Okay. Based on what we just went through, I'm going to take a wild guess, and I just did it real quick. The second and fifth?
Yep.
Where is this?
What are you doing? Are you moving?
Hang on. I'm kind of looking for input here. That's what I came up with real quick. But
second. Well, the second one.
In this one, it was only in the second
one.
Okay. Well, look at the fifth.
We considered this at F&I and made some changes in it, so what should be on the floor is the version that came out of F&I.
Okay, where's that?
You don't have it because Kathy was saving time and paper. I was going to just report the F&I changes on the floor.
Okay.
Brian or and Pam Peter. Has them. No. She okay. can do it.
All right, Brian and Peter, perhaps we should back up and start with what F&I did.
Okay. But yep. I still have the floor.
We'll come back to you, okay? But we'll come back to you, but we should see what the committee passed.
Yep.
F&I expanded the first whereas to give the full title of the procedure. High volume slick water hydraulic fracturing, parenthesis hydrofracking, end paren. In the second whereas, we lowercased greenhouse gas emissions, and we inserted likely before the word equivalent. And throughout the resolution, high volume gets hyphenated. I think those are that's the gist of the changes.
So on line 8, it should say high volume hydrofracturing is likely equivalent to emissions from coal, right?
That's what we did.
Okay. And is there anything else out of the committee? All right. Okay, Brian.
We're right back at the same argument.
We got time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where Nate went. I'd like to jump.
Did you drop your pen?
Yeah, I did.
You know, just the words likely, let's go ahead and argue this one for an hour. But
Peter, then Pat.
I sure hope we don't have to. I have the same problem with this. The problem is the second whereas and the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth whereas. And so I'd like to move to delete those.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any discussion on that amendment? I will do it.
Well, I understand Peter's approach to this, and I disagree with it. And it would be nice if a majority of this legislature took this issue seriously and kept the second and fifth whereases in this version of the resolution. This is about county-owned land. It's not about the state. And this is what our residents are worried about.
Carol? Yeah. I am I allowed to speak to the main motion as well as the amendment? I don't want anything to jeopardize our passing the main motion, which to me, to be weighing in the ways that we have to the EPA, to the DEC, and now to the DEC on the forest plan, without weighing in on what we are or aren't willing to do on our own lands, and this would be primarily forest lands, and our airport would be the lands that would come into question possibly. It seems silly, and like not stepping up ourselves. So I do hope that we, that in whether we, it's with or without this clause, that we would pass this. On this particular clause, I don't want to have the entire argument again, and I will vote against taking it out for the same reason that I did before. And I would further quote from this preliminary assessment of greenhouse gas emissions from Marcellus shale gas prepared by Professor Robert Howarth, the David R. Atkinson Professor of Ecology and Environmental Biology at Cornell University, Director of the Agriculture, Energy, and Environment Program at Cornell, Chair of the International SCOPE, S-C-O-P-E, Biofuels Project of the International Council of Science, and Chair of the Energy and Environment Committee of the Council of Scientific Society Presidents, in which he talks about, it's titled Greenhouse Gas Emissions from Natural Gas from Marcellus Shale. I'll ask that after this meeting that it maybe get circulated or put in people's boxes. He says that natural gas is being widely advertised and promoted as a clean burning fuel that produces less greenhouse gas emissions than coal when burned. While it is true that less carbon dioxide is emitted from burning natural gas than from burning coal, per unit of energy generated, the combustion emissions are only part of the story, and the comparison is quite misleading. A complete consideration of all emissions, and this is in bold, makes using natural gas from the Marcellus Shale far less attractive than oil and not significantly better than coal in terms of the consequences for global warming. And he goes on to talk about methane as the biggest concern, and with detail about that, and further, the development of shale gas requires large energy inputs for site preparation, transporting water, drilling wells, building pipelines, treating wastes, and disposing of rock cuttings. The associated emissions of carbon dioxide, and it's in on this graph, with the third section on this graph here, contribute further to the total release of greenhouse gases. And this is the research that he is preparing currently for publication. And on the basis of that, I would hope that Tompkins County, in its own resolution on what we want to do on our lands, might be able to go a step further than we were willing to go on the resolution that we were sending up to the DEC for their forest plan.
Point of information. Is the resolution to take out the second whereas and the fifth whereas, both of them?
Yes.
Okay, I can't speak.
Okay, I have Mike and then Will and myself, and I don't know if I missed somebody in there. Mike?
Just that I would like to say that I think we all take this issue very seriously. That's why there was a unanimous vote on the last one, and probably there'll be a unanimous vote on this one, because we are concerned about the whole issue of hydrofracking and how it might affect our groundwater and our economy here.
Will?
Okay.
Is there a second? Brian, second? Okay. All in favor of calling the question on the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed?
I raised my hand at the late.
9, okay, and to 2. That passes 9 to 2, so the question is called on deleting those two whereases. All in favor of deleting those two, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait, that corner, you all staggered. 1, 2, 3 is in favor of the amendment to delete. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That fails 7 to 5. We need 8 to take action. And I would like to speak. To this issue just for a moment.
Just on the amendments, though.
The amendment has failed. The amendment to delete has failed. It was 7 to 5.
So is it still on the floor? No, it's gone.
I was going to say something before Will called the question. I would just mention that I think the whereases are important when we, as a public education measure, and I think that they belong, that those belong here. So we're on the main motion. Will, Frank?
Madam Chair, with all due respect to the individuals that spent so much time on this, there are the same time constraint that existed on the state land resolution does not exist with this one, because these are our lands and we're not under any pressure to do anything other than if we choose to issue a statement, and we can do that at any time. Because there's been so much discussion and the changes that came out of the state one, perhaps, and I think it was Brian who originally mentioned this, I hate to say this, it's 8 o'clock, and we still aren't through with our main agenda. Would you consider sending this back to the committee for more review? And perhaps
I actually think we could wrap this up in about a minute if we just go ahead.
How are you doing?
If that's not, unless you're going to make a motion.
I'll move that we return this to committee for further work.
I second that.
Which committee? It's been through
planning. Which is where it came.
It
went to planning first and then to F&I. Why did it go to F&I? I guess I don't know.
Because it's our land, land use policy.
Perhaps it should go back to both committees for review.
Then moved and seconded to send it back to two committees. Brian.
Is that okay with you, Pat?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say I would be in favor of that. Only because I fear that we're not going to get the result that we should get or want to get by taking a vote right now.
We don't have to pass things unanimously either.
Okay. Yeah. No. I'm just. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that it's not going to. But. No.
Okay. So you're in favor of sending it back to committees?
Yes.
Okay. Pat and Jim.
I would like very much to be able to support this. And given the length of time that we have spent discussing it, given the fact that some of the members have had to leave, it seems to me to be a reasonable request to have it go back to committee. I'm not in favor of trying to push through a vote on this at this moment in time, because that's how it would feel to me, as if we were being forced to vote on something that many of us don't feel comfortable voting on yet, and yet don't want to vote against. So I hope that I won't be put in that position, because I really do not want to have to vote against this.
If I can make a friendly suggestion that this only go back to, and I would suggest PDEC, that I think the land use issue is not at question. The land use of whether, which is why it was at facilities, about whether our land should be considered, you know, for leases. That's just a friendly suggestion.
I would accept that if you could assure me that our committee chair would be in attendance every moment to help us through this.
I promise.
You want to take this up after November 2nd?
She may be in Albany, right?
That's right.
Then she can deal with it firsthand, Peter.
That's right.
I hope we do this before January.
Next year.
Okay. So is that acceptable that this goes back not to two committees, but just to PDAC?
It's okay with me. It's okay with Dooley.
No.
Well, with the mover and seconder.
I second that. It's okay with me.
Is it okay?
Dooley, you'd like it to go to facilities.
I think jurisdictionally it has to go there. It can come there after planning. I don't care.
All right. If the mover and seconder have it at PDAC, you can still put it on the facilities agenda. There's nothing stopping that from happening. All right. Is there anything else on sending this back to PDAC? All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, that passes 8-4, so that this will go back to PDIC. Pam, I'm sorry.
It's okay. We love talking about this issue.
So. Going to put it on February.
May I make one?
Yes, Jim.
Pam, there are 62 members of the Senate, right?
63.
Hopefully you're going to be there.
62,
well, whatever. And so you can multiply times 63 something like this. If you get elected, you can get down there and stay forever.
Actually, I don't think they discuss anything at the state Senate. It's just all done in the back room. So, all right. We have one more resolution from PDEC, and I believe Faye is hanging around, not because she's got nothing else to do, because she wants to hear what we do with the next one. So if we could go to the motion that was added to the agenda, the member filed resolution. No, I'm sorry, that's out of order. It's not from PDEC at all.
My resolution did not go to PDEC.
That's right. All right. All right, I would like to, Pam, do you have a report?
I will put off my report until next meeting because there will be, I can do that.
That would be kind. I would like to ask that we have a 5-minute break. And please be back in your seats in 5 minutes. Thank you.